Hello, welcome to the DriveCast. This is Ed Travers, teaching pastor of Life Point in Westerville. This past Sunday, we started a new series called Detours, where we're talking about how God can use our wrong turns to get us to the right place. We're really looking at the two of the sons of Jacob, Joseph and Judah, and showing kind of how life took them down some detours and some wrong turns, but ultimately God took them to the right place. Want to share with you a verse in Genesis 15, verse 13 and 14. It says this: "Then the Lord said to Abram, 'Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions.'" That conversation took place between the Lord and Abraham when God was making a covenant promise to Abraham that because of his faith, God was going to bless his family line. His descendants were going to be vast and numerous beyond what he can count, and all the nations would one day be blessed through his family line, and that they would inherit the land that God had called Abraham to come out to, and the land that we know as Israel. The problem was, Abraham didn't have any children. And so God was making this promise. And then, obviously, if you know the rest of the story, he had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons. God had appeared and worked mightily in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But through these other sons of Jacob, these 12 sons, there was a lot of turmoil and dysfunction, if you will. We read chapter 37 in different parts, and that part of the story in Genesis is where Joseph is given these dreams where God was letting Joseph know that there was a plan on his life, that he would rise up in power over his brothers and his family. Now, Joseph, being a 17-year-old boy, a little naive, maybe a little prideful, lets his brothers know and his family know about the dreams. His brothers really hated him because they were jealous of him because his dad was so favorable to him and had made him this, you know, beautiful tunic that basically kind of implied that he was a, you know, the favored son, and, you know, they were doing labor and he was kind of the guy who checked up on their labor. The fact that God had a plan for him didn't turn out real well right away because his brothers were so jealous of him, they ended up throwing him in a pit. They were contemplating killing him, and they ended up selling him to these Ishmaelite traders to make money, you know, and then they go back and lie to their dad and tell him, you know, hey, he's dead. So Judah is the one who came up with the idea of selling him to the traders, saying, hey, let's make some money off our brother. And, you know, why should we not profit? Why should we have blood on our hands? You know, he is our brother after all. So here's Judah, who's, you know, can't be following the will of God because he's now involved in kidnapping, assault, theft, and now human trafficking. I mean, this is the kind of guy that you would think, man, he is definitely not following God's ways. But in Joseph's case, God has promised him this plan that's going to take place. And here he is now being, you know, kind of beaten up and thrown in a pit and ultimately sold as a slave away from his family home. I mean, imagine. But interestingly enough, at the very end of the chapter, you realize that these slave traders took him to Egypt and they sold him to Potiphar, the captain of the guard of Pharaoh. And if you're not familiar with the story, it's a really fantastic story, but Joseph ends up becoming kind of the chief slave of everything that Potiphar owns. And so he's learning how to kind of run a business, if you will, run a family house. But, you know, Potiphar's wife wants to seduce him. He kind of runs from that. That kind of makes her mad. She accuses him of rape, and he ends up in prison for the royal prisoners. He becomes kind of the chief prisoner in there, running the entire prison, and eventually, through some incredible things, ended up kind of explaining a dream that Pharaoh had and became the second in command of the entire nation of Egypt. And because of the severe famine that was brought on the land, and because he was able to kind of figure out a way to make it so that they would survive and other nations would survive, and ultimately, his own family would be saved because of all this. This is the point. You look all the way back to Genesis, in Genesis 15, where God told Abraham, your people are going to end up in a land, and they're going to end up down there serving for 400 years, but when they come out, they're going to be basically wealthy because they're going to get great possessions. That's exactly what happened. After Joseph, the entire family of Israel ended up thriving in Egypt for, you know, for many years before they were put into slavery for 400 years, but by the time, through Moses, after he left, they were given, you know, so many gifts, they were now numerous and wealthy. So God had taken them as this little tiny family and made them into a nation. And they were strong enough that when God put them into the promised land, they were strong enough to actually, you know, kind of make a nation there. And because they were wealthy, because they were given so many gifts from Egypt, they had exactly what God planned. But when you look at chapter 37 of Genesis and realize that Joseph and Judah seem to be going in different directions, you know, Judah's making a bad decision and Joseph is just having a detour thrust into his life. But ultimately, God used it for something really beautiful. And you and I know the Messiah because it came through the line of Judah. And we know the people of Israel because God protected them and promised that he would take care of them. For you and I, this is what this means. We have a tendency to look at our lives and believe in the promises of God, that he has a plan for us and he wants to use our life to make his name known and glorious. He wants to draw us close to him. But oftentimes, the circumstances we find ourselves in are really less than what we believe the promises would equal. But you have to recognize that God has a plan, trust in him, and know that he will carry it through to completion, all the way till the day that we see him face to face. So no matter what your circumstance or situation is, turn to God and trust in him completely. God, I ask that you would help us, especially as we go through the series, just to understand how you use the wrong turns in our life to get us to where we're supposed to be. And God, I pray that we would trust you more and more along the way. God, work in our hearts. So we love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Take a second. As you think about your circumstances and you think about the promises of God, just talk to him about those and commit yourself to trusting in him and ask him to give you that strength. Till next time, God bless.